Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This is the War of the Words.
All right, everybody, you know what time it is. It's Sunday once again. Cerebral Sundays, picking in your mind and mine and your friends and that stranger you don't know behind them. But turn around and you can meet them and y'all can be buddies. We got an awesome episode, like we always do. I don't even know why I say that anymore. Jeanette's here for a second before we bring Alyssa on. How are you, Jeanette?
I'm good.
I think you're too far away.
I'm good.
All right, right on. I like that. Guys, today we're going to be talking a lot about V3 and Vasquez versus Fincher going down, I believe, this Saturday on the 30th. You can check this out at V3 Fights, whether that's on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. Tickets are going to be at v3fights.com. So make sure to check that out. And I'll remind you guys at the end, it's going to be an awesome fight. Former conflict number one contender, and I'm sure we'll see her fight in the conflict cage again. I hope so, at least. Awesome fighter, awesome person, interviewed her before. So we'll have Alyssa Vasquez on today's show in just a second. But one of the things I want to touch on, because it's going to be Memorial Day, and you know, I know Alyssa's you know, serving, and we had this Chris Weidman fight last night, and for some reason, I mean, he's like the embodiment of the American flag. He's like so all-American that it's ridiculous. And I think what I learned last night, I don't think he's like not an accepted guy. I don't know what it is, like why people don't like Chris Weidman, you know.
I don't know. They're haters.
I'm not sure why they don't like him, but they don't like him. Actually, the way they talk about Weidman kind of reminds me of the way I talk about GSP sometimes. And the way other people respond, like, are you crazy? GSP is amazing.
It's because of this, and pretty much exactly because of this. Everybody sat around for years and years waiting and hoping and wishing that somebody was going to whoop Anderson Silva's ass, and it never happened. Of course, when somebody came in,
and when it did, everybody got mad.
Twice, now everybody's mad.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, and yesterday, I guess what I was originally going to get at, when you make a good point too, is I thought it was interesting that Vitor Belfort, you know, this is the first time we've seen the man is like, I guess, have the magnifying glass on him as hard, and then he comes out and, you know, gets dominated. Other than that first couple seconds. I felt there's a lot of talk going around that, you know, what we saw was Vitor Belfort not on all his juice, even though he still was pretty high, higher than Weidman. Interesting note there. Chris said at the weigh-ins he was going to make him pay for testing so high, and I guess TKOing him in the first round is a pretty, I think he did
that
what he said.
Sounds like making him pay to me.
Yeah. So, interesting, man, but 187 was an amazing card, and so I guess, you know, what you guys, if you get an opportunity or Memorial Day is free, make sure to check those fights out, because they are freaking awesome, man. But anyways, back to today's show, brought to you by Sore Sumrit Fight Store. That's ssfightstore.com. Make sure to check them out. You can also type in Sore Sumrit Fight Store on Facebook. They are awesome. And if you're a fighter, man, it is a great place that can really help you get a logo and shirts and banners going. They're pretty awesome. So make sure to check them out. Fans, too. They sell gear. They do, you know, custom logos, like I said, and all kinds of stuff. So make sure to check them out at ssfightstore.com or on Facebook. And I think that's enough out of me for a second. So Cerebral Sundays, we never do a show where it's just me talking, and we're not going to start today. We're going to bring on our guest, going into battle in just a couple of days, Alyssa Vasquez. Alyssa, what's up, man?
Nothing much. How you doing, brother?
I am doing fantastic. It's been a little while since you and I got to sit down and talk. How have you been?
I've been doing really good. Went away to Fort Leonard Wood for a couple of weeks and knocked out some schooling I had to take care of. And, yeah, just been waiting to get back in the cage, I guess.
And this, you know, I like V3. They're I've dealt with them both, like, as a manager. I've dealt with them in a media sense, and I've dealt with them in a fight sense. And they always seem to do really well and treat all their fighters really well. I'm pretty positive this is not your first V3 venture. Tell us a little bit about them as far as your experience.
You know, my first fight with them was actually with Amber Lynn. I had been trying to get on with V3 for a while. They got a really good reputation, really good name. It's kind of one of those, you know, stepping stone amateur ones. You know, they got Tough Enough, V3, Conflict MMA. You know, just the ones that if you're an amateur and you're even kind of considering going pro, you definitely have to be on those cards. Chantine, I don't know, I always mess up his name, but Chan, the, you know, owner of V3, pretty awesome guy, easy to talk to, and he's willing to give anybody a chance if you want to step up. So, yeah, I'm excited to fight on their card again.
You know, one of the things that I noticed about V3 and that I actually like is, you know, when the WMMA scene was super difficult to work with maybe 2 years ago or so, when there wasn't so big and people were having a hard time getting fights, and a lot of girls that I knew were taking fights at like crazy strange weights. Each fight was like at a different weight or somewhere at a catch, and traveling all over the place. And I think places like V3 and Conflict, who really invested a lot on the AMI side of WMMA down here, I think we're starting and have seen a lot of growth here. And I definitely think that you're a part of that.
Yeah, you know, it was exciting. I want to say, you know, and I'm not trying to take any credit from anybody, but as per everything that I know about my MMA experiences, you know, it all kind of started with Hook and Shoot. And then from there, you know, you've got these owners of these. I've dealt with crappy promoters or owners of companies that want nothing to do with MMA. They want, if it's not Jello and Mud, they want nothing to do with it. And they, you know, they've treated me, you know, very poorly. So you can tell a noticeable difference when they're talking to me as opposed to a male fighter. And like Jared with Conflict, Chan with V3 is just nothing but the utmost respect. And they really, I truly feel that they want to advance women's MMA right along with, you know, male MMA. You know, they really don't see a difference. They just want a good fight. So it's exciting.
No question. That growth and that sincerity about it, I think, says a lot. You know, I've never seen a V3 show or Conflict show or a lot of these shows where, you know, they make some kind of spectacle or it's like an oddity fight. Every time we see one of these fights, they're legit. They feel legit. So a lot of times there's a title on the line or it's a number one contender thing. The legitimacy of it, I couldn't agree more. I still see some of these promotions out there that kind of do that appalling sort of like, come watch chicks fight and pit each other, almost topless.
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be awesome. They're going to kick each other in the boobs. Yeah, like, that's exactly how they do it, you know? Like, and I can appreciate the way that the approach is. Like, I like seeing when you see, like, your fight poster is a great example, man. There's a perfect example of what you and I are both talking about. You look at the fight poster that you're on, and it's as legit as everyone else's. It's right there in the mix, and it's exactly what, you know, nobody's like, hey, so I need you to send me your fight photo, but I need you to pose like this and be wearing this. You know, I like that, you know, that you're right there, and it the reason that these WMMA fights matter is because of the talent that's being brewed from it, not because of anything else. You know, I think that's been a huge step.
And that's definitely, you know, and that's a forcing function for the fighters as well, because we know if we do want to get taken seriously, we have to step up our game as far as training and everything else, because, you know, we don't want to be lumped in with the little groupies that jump in there, try their hand, and, you know, oops. Not for me. Like, if you want to be taken seriously, you have to put in work. And then, you know, better technique, and there you go, better fights.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean. Like, and they fall away much faster in that sphere because it's such a smaller sphere to work in. And you do see a good amount of that. Like, you know, maybe the boyfriend fights. Maybe they take some selfies, then they want to fight. Then they actually have one, and, you know, that's all. That's about the end of it.
Yep. 0-1 and done.
So, yep, exactly. And we see these people pressing on and making these big splashes time and again. And the sincerity of the fights means so much. One of the things I've always said is I always thought it was interesting that we still had ring girls because we have so much WMMA. I wondered that why don't we have ring dudes that maybe carry a round card around and something a little skimpy. You know, I don't see why we don't. So sometimes, like, and it's funny, I never think of it until we get to the WMMA fight, and then it's the two, like, almost naked chicks carrying the ring cards around while the two girls are getting ready to fight. I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, I guess it's still cool, but, you know, it's just a funny kind of note of, like, the older, I get what, you know, what you're talking about, that kind of older era of the way that some of this stuff was brought in a more flashy sense, you know, like, I don't got any problem particular with any ring card girls. Y'all don't hate me, you know, or anything. I'm just saying, like, I kind of don't understand the process. We all know it's round two.
Yeah, I've actually, believe it or not, I've been in at an event that during the women's fights, they actually had male card, I don't know what you would call them, but they had males in, like, just shorts walking around. I'm sure they felt like major bags and they're probably getting booed, but.
Yes. I'm with that. See, I'm with that. Like, if we're going to do equality, let's just go all the way. Let's go all the way with it. I like that. You know, they're taking it there, and I can appreciate that. That's also how I feel like, you know, how people feel about me being a commentary. I feel like people don't take female commentators quite as serious a lot of times, and that's something that we've seen change also. I mean, not to get way off topic or anything, but that is also something that we've seen change, whereas, you know, I haven't been doing it that long, but I know a lot of females personally that have stepped up, and, you know, everybody kind of had a predisposed opinion, and, you know, I like seeing those changes throughout MMA all in all, man. I think it's awesome, man. I think this fight that you have coming up on this V3 card is pretty awesome. I believe your opponent is Erica Fincher, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, see? Boom, Eric does his homework. Look at that, right there. You see that? I'm still skilled. I'm not rusty. this fight is going down. Like, one of the first questions, I always love to ask this because, you know, we've been on such a, like, women's heavy aspect. Now I'm just going to keep rocking with it. I love this part, though, when it's cool for me to ask you about your weight. I get to break, like, a social, like, you know, stigmata. I'm going to ask a female about her weight, and there's not going to be any problem.
Nope.
No one's going to get mad. How's the weight cut if you're making one, and how's that going here as we slide on into game time?
Yeah, it's going really good. I actually switched it up this time. Before, I had always, you know, had it in my mind where I'd, like, do zero carbs, and then, like, my last week I was shit, and every workout I was just like, ugh, so drained. So this time I've been incorporating a little bit, obviously, like, you know, healthy clean carbs. But it's a noticeable difference. I'm right on track to where I need to be, and I feel 100%. So, ready to go.
Yeah, you sound very bright. Like, since we've been on the show, you sound super happy, super confident. Your voice is very full. It's not like, you know, sometimes we get on here, especially during the fight weeks and stuff, and fighters are either, like, super pissy or they sound kind of deflated. Maybe both. But you seem ready to rock, man. Yeah, I can feel the sunshine coming through the speakers. You seem good to go.
Yeah, I'm ready. So, smarter. I'm getting smarter as I progress in this MMA thing. So, you know, I'm not trying to kill myself just for weighing and then being crap in the cage. So, this one's going to be good. A lot of energy.
Yeah, I like that. I can, like I said, man, I can feel it now. I'm super stoked about this one. And the last time that I saw you fight, I know the whole lead up to, well, we got to know you pretty well, and you're pretty badass, no question about that. Your badassery is noted in several sectors, and one of them that I definitely wanted to bring up was your service time. I wanted to bring that up a little bit, especially with Memorial Day and all that coming up. A few words from you would be super awesome.
I'm getting ready to hit 12 years here in October. I love what I do, mainly because of the soldiers to my left and my right. It's a phenomenal job. I wouldn't give it up for anything. And the soldiers that I know that have passed away, tomorrow's definitely my heart and my mind are both going to be heavy in thought and remembrance of them. So that is all I would ask is all your listeners, like, definitely, you know, enjoy your time off from work and everything. But please, if you could just not say, like, happy Memorial Day, because it's, you know, it's kind of.
Yes, know the difference.
You know?
Yeah, you got to know the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. I've been pointing that out today, too, funny enough. Like, you have to know, and the 4th of July, these things are all very different. You know, it's one of those remembrance kind of things. So, you know, may your celebrations be in you know, the sphere of that there. I couldn't agree more. And I'm glad you said that, actually. It's a wonderful thing. We're going to broadcast the crap out of that. So, Erica Fincher, man, listen, you guys have both fought some very top talented people that are definitely known. I think Shannon Gugory and definitely Jamie Milinowski, I remember off Erica Fincher's card that I don't have here right in front of me for you. I know yours is a little more in-depth. You fought last Amberlynn Orr. You fought Alexa Connors, for people who don't know that. You fought Melissa Blythe, and we cannot forget that you fought Fallon Fox also. I think that's something a lot of people don't know, which I think is pretty awesome. Personally, I think that's pretty awesome. You got
to
look back on it.
I have a legitimate reason to, like, say the things that I say, and, you know, with regard to disagreeing with Fallon fighting females. I can say that legitimately because I felt the difference, so.
Yeah, you were like, okay. Yeah, I that's always been an interesting topic, too. There's like, look at this girl fighter. She's knocking out everybody. I'm like, yeah. I could see why, maybe a little. I'm not saying all dudes. We're not going to make blanket statements or anything, but it might help to have once had, you know, testicles, maybe a little.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't
maybe
know.
For 32 years.
No big deal. It's like taking free TRT all the way up till right before you had the fight. Your body's like, here you go, bro. Yeah. It's like, this is how I got. I was 32 years getting ready for this fight, and that's what I did. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. You fought Sarah Cook also. Also, another good one. Boom, off the top, too. That was a cool win. Alexa was good. Amberlynn, like 5-1, the person everybody talks about. I mean, you do a great job. You've got a winning record, and you make sure to be in the cage with, right there, we named, four or five people that I think even people kind of on the outskirts of MMA, if they're into it in any sort of local way, or even some of these people higher than that. I mean, they know these names. I damn sure know them. So, that's gotta be pretty cool and build your confidence up for as far as your goals or aspirations in the sport, man, and especially coming into a fight this weekend.
Oh yeah, that's one thing that when I first got in the game, it was all about win, and I got on my little 4-fight win streak, thought I was hot shit, and then I was talking to a gentleman by the name of Billy Donovan. He runs AAMMA. And he was just straight up with me. He's like, if you wanna go anywhere in this, you really need to start testing yourself. So that's what I've just kind of looked for, is just smart fights that are gonna test me, win or lose. I just want to have fun because I love fighting. So I don't care if I never ever go pro. I don't care if I fight in front of people or if it's just me and them locked in a room. I just love the act of fighting. So. But along with that, I do have aspirations of going pro, so I really need to select fighters that are going to be a test for me and are going to teach me what I need to work on. So,
fan, that's such a smart and intelligent approach. What would you say you learned from your last two fights?
The importance of ground game. because I've been I do kind of, and I and still in a lot of ways, like I will always love stand up. I love a standing fight. I don't really find it ever exciting on the ground. But that being said, I'm fighting high caliber females, and Alexa Connor, she was a straight stand up all the way. And, you know, but her ground game, she was solid enough, and they kept that quiet enough that, you know, she, I mean, she put that armbar on quick, and same thing with Amber Lynn. I know that that's a problem for me, and I can say it out loud and not worry about my opponent hearing this, because anybody who's watched my fights knows that that has been my problem in the past, is that I get so focused on punchy facey that I leave limbs out, you know. Never leave a fallen comrade. You know, I leave my arm out, and they capitalize. So,
you know what? It's funny that, you know, it's very interesting too that you say that. You know, I couldn't agree more. And it seems like what's happening is, you know, you mentioned Alexa, and I was at her very first fight. I actually missed all of them but one, which is the one that she lost. There's a, you know, funny kind of in, you know, inside Southeast MMA joke about that. But she lost. She got submitted. And I think it was her second or third fight. I want to say it was the third one. And after she got submitted, she went away for a while. I mean, a good while. And to me, it seemed like she had been hit with this sort of fear, or this sort of like, man, I can't believe that that happened. And kind of like what you said, I'm so focused on maybe this that I haven't caught this up. And that really lit a fuel in her to say, you know what, even though this isn't my favorite and all I want to really do is get in there and punch people in the freaking eyeballs, like, I got to. And, you know, you can obviously, you know the results firsthand, no pun intended. But, you know, you got it. As it came out, I was like, wow, that's genius. I wish I could claim it. But, you know, I think that it seems like you obviously kind of the same thing going on, that you learn these lessons, just like you spoke of. You realize the importance of the amateur career, and that, hey, you know, just because I don't, just like BJJ people learn all the time, man, God, you know, I love taking people down. I can submit them in 5 seconds, but I got to get it there. And, man, I don't like being punched in my face. So it seems like you got the fire down. It seems like the fire is present to go along with your sunshine.
Definitely, like I said, I really, and you know, it's like BJ Penn. I had read it, one of his, when I first got into MMA, I read his book, and you know, one of them is like laying out all the technique and everything. And in the beginning, he, you know, did a little chapter of knowledge for all those, you know, aspiring fighters. And he says, you know what your strength is and capitalize on that. You're not good on the ground. That's good. That's fine. That's absolutely okay. But be able to defend and get the fight back up to where you want it to be. And that's where I went wrong in my last two, is I wasn't able to get the fight where I wanted it. So
that's all right. I couldn't agree. That's what Chuck Liddell pointed out one time. You know, he said, all fights start out on the feet, and that's where I, you know, that's where I do my work. And I think his ability to keep people from taking it anywhere else, I mean, you know, there's a certain level I would expect in a cage of helplessness when you go for 5 takedowns and none of them are successful. And you realize, well, damn, I guess I have to fight it right here. And I guess the same thing you said in opposition. And that's a huge, you know, that's a huge thing. So being able to keep it in your world is definitely something that I'm glad to see that focus being turned to. You do have a ton of experience and confidence, and you know, I think you've definitely had a great last 2 years, kind of like jumping down on the scene. You know, you're kind of one of those people where your fights are always exciting. The lead up to your fights are always exciting. You are an exciting individual, and so it just keeps building. Despite, I know a lot of fighters that are like this. They just keep building this momentum as they learn, because people become attached and want to see them succeed. Is that something that you've noticed as you've gone along, that the support system slowly grows and along with you?
Absolutely. You know, when I first started fighting, it was really, you know, taboo. And also I was in, you know, I'm still in the military, but I was in the military. And I had to hide the fact that I fought. You know, nobody could know it at work. Nobody could know it in my personal life. It was just really like, you know, I'm with a heavy bag in my house, like away from everybody. And, you know, the only people that knew I was fighting was the promoters that I was talking to on back in the days of MySpace. You know, it was just, it was really, and I couldn't tell anybody. And then when I first came out, you know, I had, you know, at first I obviously lost my first fight, and then talking to people, you know, that I was surrounded by, my friends, and it was a lot of, that's stupid, why the hell are you fighting, you need to just give it up, you know, just a lot of negativity. And I am riding the high at this point in life. It's just the juju keeps building, and I'm, you know, as I become more positive, I'm surrounded by more positive people, and it's just this incredible forward momentum. So I'm definitely grateful for where life has me.
I love that. I love that you used to have to hide it and fight and then go to work. I can only imagine, like, going to, you know, like going to a fight and getting, like, busted up and then having to go to work and be like, oh, no, I fell on a door. Yeah,
yeah,
seven
that's
times.
Actually, what happened, I showed up to work with a black eye, and I had a, you know, if we have in the military what's called a first sergeant. Essentially, they're in charge of, like, you know, everybody in your company. And at the time, I had a first sergeant who was not supportive of MMA at all. So I came to work with a black eye, had to explain it. Finally, it came out, and then I was officially banned in writing for the entire time that he was my first sergeant. I could not do anything related to MMA. So, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, thankfully since then I've had nothing but supportive chains of command that, you know, as long as I put the military first and I do what needs to come first with my job, they're more than willing to give me leeway to do whatever I got to do.
I have to imagine, too, that there has to be a nice correlation between being in the military and the things that you learn, do transitioning over to MMA. That seems like, in some respects, it would be a nice transition over, as like things that help or go hand in hand.
Definitely. You know, when I was at Fort Campbell, I was afforded the opportunity to attend some training that they have, kind of like a performance athlete, mental strength kind of thing. And it's very interesting, just awesome all the way around. You get to really know your body, know the signs. Like, you know, I always tell this example to make people understand, like, the kind of stuff that they taught us. Before, when I would go into a fight, I would get cotton mouth like crazy. And it would start to freak me out because I'd be like, man, like, holy shit, like, I know I'm going to lose. Like, why the hell is my body freaking out? It's betraying me right now. And then I found out in the course that that's actually a good sign. You know, it's just one of those things.
It's betraying
things
me right now.
Yeah, I was seriously, you know, I would start freaking out, like, oh, shit, like, I can't breathe, I don't have no spit, I don't know what's going on here. So, but, yeah, when I learned, you know, that's a good sign. That means that your body is, like, getting amped up, and it's getting in the zone. So, and then I learned to, whenever that happens now, it's not a scary thing anymore. And I was like, okay, game time, let's do it.
It's like a sign. Your body's like, yo, listen, we're going to take all the fluid out of your mouth. Because of some reason, it makes it easier for you to beat ass. We're not going to explain it to you, but just be ready.
Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Don't pass out. We'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just the fact that you would take advantage of something like that, I think, once again, you know, just speaks volumes to how you choose to view your amateur career and what you've experienced and gone through at this juncture, because I know a lot of people in the game, in the AMI level, who, like, take fights once a month, and these guys, I hate making blanket statements, but we'll say at least 50% of the time, these guys end up at the end of, say, doing this for 6 months, being something like 2-5 or something crazy to that effect. And then they're like, well, I'm going to go pro, and so I got to leave the state and go pro somewhere else. And there doesn't seem to be an understanding. Yeah, I'm serious. I'm sure you know some of these individuals. You sit back like, wait, so now you're pro and you're 0-3 and you're wondering, looking around like, what the heck's going on? And exactly. To me, it, like, well, maybe you didn't take your AMI career seriously, or you didn't challenge yourself properly. Because just as equally, we do have that group of people that are like 10-1, 12-1, maybe 9-0 AMI, and then they go pro, and all of a sudden they don't win any fights. And then you have to start going back and looking at who they were fighting. And it seems to me, at least, that you have a record. When I look at your record, which I believe is 6-5, if I'm correct, right? Is it close?
Yeah.
Okay. So we look at that record, and you see, man, that's a lot of experience right there. But then you dive into who you've been fighting, and you see, you also see talent. You see, okay, man, that there you go. There's someone who's like testing themselves, which is very different than some of these people that I'm talking about. So it seems to me, at least, as you march towards possibly going pro, that you understand the importance of those self-tests and finding out what you're about, and realizing that possibly the most important piece is that sometimes you can only find out pieces of that puzzle by getting in there against those people that may be better than you, or that possibly you even know are better than you when you accept a fight. Maybe not by fight night, but at least maybe when you accepted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my ultimate goal, and I know this is going to sound crappy, it's completely has nothing to do with MMA. My goal is to be able to hang my head high, and I want that personal like pride and dignity whenever I do walk away from the sport. And in order for me to achieve that, I have to know that I did my best and that I wasn't focused on pro, wasn't focused on the money. I was focused on actually being a good fighter. That's my ultimate goal, is first to hear somebody's commentary breaking down one of my fights and for them to just like talk about how phenomenal the technique was. That's what I want. I want people to see a good fight when I fight, not the windmilling crap I did back in the day, or, you know, oh, it's good for a chick fight. Like, I want to be good at what I do. And if I go pro, great, grand, wonderful, but that's not my main focus. My main focus is just being just really fucking good. So sorry about that.
I like that, man. You're giving me, no, it's good, man. It's all good. You give me like tons of great quotes. I couldn't agree. Like, the way you said it was good, man. Like, you don't want to be remembered as great for a chick fight. You know, you want to be good, period. And I think that's an important thing to say. Like, you know, I don't want to be compared just in this one sphere. It's like saying, hey, man, look, like some of our sports figures, we look at a guy like maybe Michael Jordan. You know, he kind of goes beyond just the one area that you might say he was good in. You know, it extends past. And I like that, you know, you want the comparison when those things happen in yourself, to know that it's on par with, you know, with everyone. And most importantly, with yourself. There's a lot of that in there. I see that, the importance, the value that self-stating value. And I think that's very important. It's a good motivator for sure. No question. You kind of have to know. Oh, no, you're good. It's like knowing what you're fighting for. There's a lot of people who think they know, or there's a lot of people that just fight because they like fighting, or maybe they like watching fighting, or, man, God, there's like so many reasons. But fighting to find something out really honestly about yourself, or to answer something about yourself, or even just to achieve something that gives you a piece, I think that's pretty awesome, man. You don't think you meet too many fighters that are that honest about everything, or that are maybe even that clear-headed. So, congrats. I wish there were more people to clap with me. I wish I had like an ovation button like they do on, you know, like funny shows with sound effects. I totally like bust out the massive claps. Yeah, there you go. That works. We're gonna I'm gonna clip that out of today's show and use that from now on. Just brought to you by Alyssa Vasquez, honest ass beater who says the word fuck. That's her. That's great. And you know, this is a good one too, man. I think this is a good test. I think it's a good place. Give when you match it up with really your last four fights, because I'm kind of a four fight back person. I don't know why, I've just always done that. I can't explain it. But it seems like we've got a situation of two people who were unsuccessful in their last two. There's some submissions there. Seems like you guys match up really well, and both of you are super hungry. And before that, wins. So I know both of you are very eager to get back into that column, or if anything else, again, like you said, just go out and find some answers about thyself. And if that means punching faces, so be it. I'm very excited about this fight. So what has you most excited about this fight?
Just knowing that she's comfortable standing. So I'm really excited to, you know, really try out my standing game, because I've, you know, went straight to the ground my first two, and I think this one has the potential. We have the potential to keep it standing for quite a while. I just want to hopefully showcase what my coaches have been tweaking as far as my game goes for quite a while now.
Yeah, you've definitely had an interesting career. It's like it kind of started out and you knocked out like five people in a row, and then everything suddenly became about submissions. It was like everyone was like, oh, crap. We can't do that. Let's take this girl to the ground immediately. I mean, literally, I don't have it in front of me, but that's exactly what I bet it looks like on paper. It's like TKO, 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 then submissions, wins and losses.
Yeah, they're just like whispering in each other's ear, passing along, by the way, get her to the ground, and she's fucked.
Yeah, they're like, listen,
that's not
going to
happen in this fight, though.
Yeah, do not let this girl touch you in the face, though, because I'm telling you, she will mess your face up. Not your makeup, your whole face. Because this is not a chick fight. This is real business. That's awesome, man. You know what? I'm so stoked for you. I was so happy when you were part of the conflict stuff we did. You brought a ton of fun and life to that card, and everybody still talks about it. And I definitely hope that we get to see you back around our way, before it's all wrapped up. And as far as this weekend goes, or this coming up weekend goes, man, I love to ask this question, so there's no reason I can't ask you, especially since we've been candid as shit today. If there's one thing that you want people talking about when they're riding home and they can't find nothing on the radio, so they decide to talk about the badass V3 they just witnessed, what do you want them talking about when they get to your fight?
How vicious my right was and how I just laid her out. I mean, honestly, that's what I want it to be. Honestly, in my mind, I want it to be a good, solid back and forth in the first round. We don't want to finish the fight too quick. And then in the second round, I just...
You know, it's so funny. Almost every fighter that I know has this, like you just said it, like almost every fighter knows, like, man, okay, I don't want to win it in the first round. Or like I've known dudes that have got like 9-second knockouts and been totally pissed off about it. They're like, man, I trained for 2 months and I went out there and killed him with one punch. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, bro? Everyone's going to talk about this for the rest of their life. I don't care, man. I want to fight. Get someone else in here. I didn't get to show that I'm the shit. Screw that. I'm like, no, I think people are very aware by that one punch that you are indeed the shit. All of it, the whole thing. The whole shit.
Like, when in my mind now, you know, I used to only be, I only wanted a knockout or a TKO or fuck a TKO. I wanted a clean knockout. But, like, so I'm happy with a win no matter what. But honestly, I feel like I owe it to the promoter and to anybody that supports me and everybody in the crowd that paid money for that ticket. I just feel like they deserve a good fight. So that's kind of in my head.
Well, this is what I want. This is what Eric, because obviously that's what's most important in your fight, is what I want. And this is what I want, okay? I'm going to break it down. This is what I want. I want you to give me something that, like, when I play it in slow motion and put, like, Guns N' Roses behind it, it is the baddest freaking shit that anyone laid their eyes on. You know, one of those, like, slow motion, like, I can't make the effect quite perfectly, but I know you know where I'm going with this.
Well, I mean, the flip side of that is, if I do something like that, I'm going to expect some kind of video after it's produced.
Oh, my goodness. You don't even know. You don't even know. Let the mouthpiece go flying. I'm telling you, you're going to get a double disc DVD with extras and commentary.
All right. You heard that, people. That's a contract,
yeah,
right there.
Everyone heard it. bam, verbal, signed. Listen, Alyssa, I had a great time catching up with you, and I will definitely make sure that we do this on the Sunday after your fight. And so get out there, whoop some ass, so we have plenty to talk about. And either way, I know you'll go out there and do yourself and thus all of us proud, and we'll have plenty to talk about no matter what happens. So as always, I'd like to give a couple seconds since we're winding down here to anybody you want to thank, any family, friends, sponsors, even maybe somebody you hate. It don't matter to me what you say. We'd love to hear it.
First, obviously, thanks to you for putting me on and wanting to talk to me tonight and giving the opportunity. My main coach, James Nickerson, and then all my brothers over at I'm Mortal MMA, Firehouse Boxing, Jason with Underdog MMA, SportsFood.com, MMA Roadhog, Sick Chick, and obviously V3 Fights and Erica Fincher. And then I would like to, even though I hate talking about my kids or putting anything out there about them, I just want to say congratulations to my oldest son for making prom king, and then also he's going to be graduating here June 26th and heading off to ASU.
Boom. So. Boom. Look at it. The champ, the king. I like that. Boom. You heard it here first. Get ready, because the once and future king is returned. I like that. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Listen, I'm going to do you something extra awesome here. We're going to play a song on the leave out today, and I got two up for you. One of them is some jamming metal, and one of them is some jamming thumping rap. I got them both ready, and I'm going to let you pick which genre we're going to go for as we fly out of here today.
Oh, that's so bad, because I like them both, but like rap gets me pumped up when I'm feeling crunk. So just choose option number two.
It's time. Option number two, we're going with the bump and rap, so that means you got to break the bottle out as per customary tradition. All right, Alyssa, we've had so much fun talking with you, and we're going to catch up with you here shortly after your fight. I know you don't talk, but best of it to you, and we hope you enjoy everything between now and then, the fight itself. And other than that, man, that's some good old J. Cole for you. Bump it down, girl.
Yeah. Now I was dreaming about a deal at the age of 13. I was fiending for the meals, I ain't talking Burger King. Some of my niggas in the Ville, all they did was surfing. Fuck scales, I had skills all day rehearsing. Them pretty boys had them girls, spent their time flirting. All they wanted was some waves like they fucking surfing. Hold up, now don't get it twisted, I ain't hating, do your thing. I was like a young Simba, couldn't wait to be the king. Now a nigga is the prince. Hopped over the fence where the grass way greener. Look at Shawty ass, way meaner. Something like Serena mixed with Trina, have you seen her? She fine enough to be Miss Howard, word to Adina. My money like a senior, watch it graduate. Now it's time to eat, I'm letting all my niggas grab a plate. Gravitate the real shit, stay away from phonies. These niggas heard about me, now they acting like they know me. Keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah. Hey, where you going, nigga? Hey, it ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Going, nigga. Hey, it ain't no telling. Yeah, can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom, hello to the top. Pardon the interruption, a proper introduction is necessary when your shit is legendary, man. Greedy niggas wouldn't let me in the cafeteria, cause they ain't believe, suddenly they Presbyterian. The hoes is librarians, they looking me up. She got her domes like Marion, she licking me up. Then we cut, look how she say my name. I got a moaning J. Cole, they used to say Jermaine. I never changed, I'm like a corpse in a coffin, 6 feet, shit deep. I was low, just a dollar and some hope, fix me. Cause I was broke, plus the weed that I would smoke would make it worse. Lord, please let my problems disappear like Ron Mercer.